Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey, and this is Joey. We're going to have a great show for you today. So we're going to talk with the co-founders of Shopicon, and Shopicon is a brand new innovative state-of-the-art way to shop online while all along protecting the small business and the communities in which they reside. So I'm excited about that. But before we do that, you know, Jammin', it's time for me to crank it up some hot topics on the international, national, and more local front. So let's crank it up as Joey rants.
We're just gonna crank it up, crank it up.
Well, yeah, we are gonna crank it up. You know, it seems like this week there's been a lot of things going on in the news, and I have, I've really just been kind of blown away by it. Now, Jammin', are you there with me?
Yes, I am. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, I don't know if you've been listening to the news, but there's a couple of things that really I'm going to rant on, okay? So, first of all, I have to be bombarded online looking at this article about Rep. King criticizes vacation for Obama's daughters. So I guess this Representative Steve King, he's a rep for Iowa, ripped into President Obama for sending his daughter, Sasha and Malia, on vacation while the federal government is being squeezed by the so-called sequester. So I guess he's annoyed by that because last year the kids went to Mexico, and this year they're in the Bahamas. You know, the big takeaway here is that the Obamas pay for their family vacations themselves. But then the critics complain that those costs do not include, you know, all the security measures. So, you know, it kind of bothered me that I had to listen to all this, or not listen, but hear all about this today. Do you have any comment on that, or what do you think about it? I mean, do you think that that's just, why do we have to be bombarded with this? This is crazy.
Well, I really don't know why we are bombarded. I know that a lot of times they just need something to report on, some kind of news. Some people love to just excite people's anger
for no reason.
Oh, you don't get angry, Joey.
No.
You just want to crank it up.
I just want to crank it up. Yeah. So, but it is kind of annoying, isn't it?
It is. You know, I tend to tune out a lot more, and the older I get, I tend to tune out even more.
Here's another story. This one is coming out of New Zealand. Now, you tell me how stupid this is. So a baby is left in a car, a baby. Small little baby, left with a note in the car while the mom shops in a store, okay? She's at, like, Pack and Save on a Saturday morning in New Zealand. The child is wearing a bonnet, and she's sleeping in a car seat. And the little baby's got a note that says, "My mom's in doing the shopping. Call her if I need anything," said the note. And then it included a cell phone number, okay? Now, there's people walking by. This one couple just waited there. They contacted the mother, and they waited for her to show up. The interesting thing here is that normally there's a fine associated with leaving a child in a vehicle that's under 14 in this country. There's a $2,000 fine, up to $2,000. But get a load of this. A New Zealand Herald reports that police won't investigate the incident further since no one has come forward or made a complaint. And then it goes on to say, we don't know who the people are. We don't know the phone number. We don't know where to start, National Police spokeswoman, Annie Coughlin said. We would launch an investigation if we could, but at this stage, no one's come forward. So now I'm thinking to myself, where's the mom? Didn't you guys have her cell phone? Didn't the little girl hold a note that said, please call my mom? You know, if I need anything, I'm just thinking, my gosh, we're really losing it. And this is on the other side of the world. But again, I'm thinking, wow. And then let's just bring something closer home in California. A disabled man is awarded $8,000 after being stranded on a Disneyland ride. That ride that it's a small world. This guy, who was wheelchair bound in 2009, was stuck on this ride, and he suffers from panic attacks and high blood pressure, and they awarded him $8,000 for 2 hours while this poor guy is suffering. And I know for a fact, I've heard of other lawsuits where the people were not disabled, the outcome was much better for those people. So, you know, that kind of was a little bit sad. On a local note here in the Bay Area, another story about a little girl. This is really kind of close to home. This was in the San Francisco Bay Area and San Jose area. A little girl was abducted. And so this was on Monday. But, you know, the thing was that my cell phone, I got Amber Alerts. They even contacted my home phone with Amber Alerts. So that was whoever was set this whole thing up did a wonderful job. Anyway, the little girl was fine. They finally found her. And I guess whoever stole this vehicle dropped it off and left her there. So the little baby was fine. She was found, I think, about 6 miles away from home. So anyway, that being said, you know, I'm glad that the mom has a baby. She's a single mom. What I don't think was too smart in here was she decided that she was going to leave the keys in the car, in the vehicle, while she went inside, and the baby was in the baby seat. And then I guess some lady was walking down the street, got into the car van. They don't know if she was Hispanic or just white, and took off. And then the mother was in hysterics. So at least the baby is back with her mom. So that's cool. And then something else that just kind of just blew my mind this week. It just seems like it's just a bunch of things that seem to be hitting the news. A man died while swinging from a Utah sandstone arch. I mean, did you folks hear about that? This guy, he's 22 years old. He was in Utah. He was killed swinging through an opening of a 110-foot tall sandstone arch. You know, when are people going to learn? You know, maybe this is not safe. You know, maybe you should just use your brains. Maybe just say no. So, anyway, it's just amazing to me. And then lastly, on a great note, I think this made my day. It seems to be, let me get the story real straight here, Panera Bread is trying a new payout because they want to know what you think of, a new pay of what you want to experiment while dining at their fast food restaurants. So check this out. You order, now this is in the St. Louis area, you order a bowl of turkey chili at a Panera Bread Cafe, and it'll cost you either a penny, $5, or $100. So in other words, whatever you decide. So it's kind of, they call it their meal of shared responsibility. And they said the potential is twofold. Above the cost, proceeds go to cover meals for customers who cannot pay the full amount, and to the St. Louis area hunger initiatives and for those in need. And then the 850-calorie meal provides nearly a day's worth of nutrition at whatever price they can afford. I think that is really cool. Actually, so cool, because yesterday, while dining here at a local establishment, I was kind of a little bit annoyed that they raised the prices without telling the customers. This is the second time they have done it in a period of 6 months. And while they say it's only 15 to 20 cents, the last time it was a higher amount. So when you add them together within a six-month period of time, it's an increase on all items of over 20%. So, you know, it's nice to know that there are restaurants out there that are taking care of people, and there are folks out there that are really concerned, bottom line, for the end user, the customer. So with that being said, I am really, really excited that we have with us today two of Shopicon's founders, and let me make sure that I'm saying the names correctly, Philip Zulka and Oliver Metlevich, and I think these guys are calling me all the way from Europe, but before I put them on, I want to let you know real quick a little bit about what Shopicon is. So Shopicon, and I'm hoping I'm saying that word right, is a guide. It's an online guide to local shops in major cities of the world that culturally define each city and give it its individual flavor. So as chain stores fill the streetscape the world over, this project is a celebration of the independent retailer. Shopicon debuted in San Francisco, one of the most beloved travel destinations in the world, of course, we all know that, on Monday, March 4th, 2013, featuring nearly 100 shops and growing every day. And you know what, folks, a really cool thing about this is that I went into the San Francisco location one, and I could go by district, and I saw places on there that I have, you know, I've been to, that I frequent, that I've gone to, other places that I've never heard of before. So this definitely has a great benefit. It's launched its applications in the following markets: London, Paris, New York, Barcelona, Vienna, and Berlin. And the Shopicon site and mobile application profiles San Francisco best local shops, including vintage, home decor, and activewear stores, organic children's boutiques, and a variety of flea farmer and flower markets. Shopicon is a brilliant application for improving, maximizing the local shopping experience and community, building with its neighborhood tips from locals, which is really important, right? An array of beautiful photos, simple user interface, very, really important here, folks, sync to my list feature, maps, and directions. So without further ado, let me welcome Philip and Oliver, co-founders of Shopicon. And I think you guys are calling in all the way from Europe, from Vienna. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. Are both of you in Vienna right now?
Yeah, yes. I got to Vienna yesterday from Barcelona, actually.
And I love Barcelona, so yeah. I'm sure you do too, right?
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
Yeah, well, good morning to both
good
of
morning.
You. For, of course, for us, it's good evening. It's about 9:15 in the evening here, Pacific Standard Time, and it's, what, 5:15 in the morning for you?
Yes.
Thanks for joining us so early, and we're delighted that you're here with us, and we're having you join us. So let's welcome you here to Live from the Bay with Joey. And for those that are listening that may not be that familiar with your new and innovative shopping experience concept, can you walk us through what Shopicon is? And secondly, what are those benefits that it does offer the potential user? So either one of you can take that. That's fine.
Sure. Why don't I go ahead? Well, thanks, first of all, for having us. Shopicon is basically a city guide, like, you know, city guides for restaurants or sightseeing and so forth. And basically, this one is really only for shops. So we really focus on independent shops, on unique shops. You know, it was this one thing that was kind of missing out there, and we tried to fill that gap. And it's been really an exciting ride so far. It's been really cool.
That's great. And so for me as a user, as a potential user, can you tell me really what would be the initial benefit that I would get by utilizing this application?
So, you know, if you've been in new cities, I think, and you often, like, you know, the main shopping streets are very well known to tourists and obviously for locals. But the idea is, you know, like, you want to find a place that you can't really find in any other city. So you might just, you know, look for a pillow or something very specific, or you just want to find, you know, that store that's hidden three blocks into, you know, a neighborhood that you're really not familiar with. And I think that's where we come in, where you can just take out your iPhone, do a nearby search, and there we go. Depending on, you know, if you're looking for a bookstore or anything,
the app
should be able to do that.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's really wonderful. Now, I know, I understand that the San Francisco application just launched this month, right?
Correct.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the other locations, how long has Shopicon been around?
Go ahead. So we started working on Shopicon about 3 years ago. Of course, there was we started with New York and Vienna, so there was a lot of work to do ahead of actually going live.
Mm-hmm.
And we then went live with the website about a year and a half ago, with New York and Vienna being the first cities covered.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually we went on, I think the third one was Barcelona, and then Paris, and then Berlin,
mm-hmm.
And
London.
And then San Francisco.
Now, from San Francisco here, do you have any future cities that you're going to also try to hit up to and have join?
We're going to take a little break now, just because we've been, you know, doing seven cities, and we want to make sure not to grow too fast. I think the next ones will most likely be in the U.S., and we're kind of looking at L.A. and Chicago, but we haven't made, like, a definitive decision. We want to roll out a really cool e-commerce platform this year, but it's going to take a while until a new city comes around.
Well, if I can make a suggestion, I think Chicago would be absolutely a great place to do it.
Oh, we love Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. Great. You would have so many people. You know why? Because the thing with L.A., you know, it's still in California. You know, it's a lot different than San Francisco, per se. And, you know, I'm kind of biased. I think San Francisco is a beautiful city, I think. And I was born there, so, of course, it's beautiful, right? But anyway, my whole family was, you know, my mom grew up there, and et cetera. But I'm partial to San Francisco. And then I love Chicago because elements of Chicago remind me of San Francisco. But it's on a grand scale. And there's such a need there. When I've been there about two or three times, and the times that I've been there, I cannot tell you the countless times that we've tried to figure out a place to go, maybe a restaurant to go to, or people wanted to go to certain stores. They wanted to check out things, and people were all confused. They didn't know where to go. Do we go on Michigan Avenue? Do we go here? Do we go? So I think that would be just that, but that's just my 5 cents. So, you know.
I totally agree. Like, Chicago has so many great neighborhoods, and it's a bit spread out. So, we'd love to do Chicago.
Okay. So now I guess my next question is, if someone would like to download this application for their mobile phones, to use it on their computers, all they need to do is go to www.shopicon.com, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay, now, for their mobiles, what do they need to do?
So basically, they have two options. Option number one is just to go to the iTunes store and download, you know, the city app that they're interested in. But we actually rolled out a really cool mobile website. So if you're an Android user or, you know, BlackBerry or whatever, you can just open the same website on your phone, and it works just like the app.
Oh, that's great. That is really great. Okay, now, I'm a store. And I want to get in touch with you guys because I want to partner with you.
Right.
What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Or I want you to come check. Are you guys checking out stores and restaurants and venues all the time?
We do get a lot of suggestions from our users, obviously, and from other shop owners who suggest their shops. But and we do have a little feature on our website where you can submit that. But we do make the actual selections ourselves, and we always go to each place. And, yeah, we literally walk the streets and then go to every place and then make a selection.
So let me ask you this. I guess if I'm a shop owner, I guess maybe perhaps you wouldn't be telling me what you might be looking for, huh, for me to get on board. Is there something that you look for?
I think it's not just fact. It's often like a feeling you get in the store as well. So I think the main thing we're looking for is uniqueness. I mean, if you have the product that everyone else has, or, you know, that you can get anywhere else, you're probably not so interesting for us. So I think if you're really good at, like we always say, curating a shop selection, then you're probably going to be very interesting for us and for our guide.
Mm-hmm. So you folks want something that's brand, well, not necessarily brand new, but interesting, something that's outside the norm. And you
yes.
really are protecting neighborhoods, too.
Yeah, we're definitely trying, let's put it that way. So I think, you know, cities change. There's gentrification. There's some trends you can't really turn around. But I think one of our main missions is to make sure that, you know, cities don't become retail clones. I mean, I lived in London for a year when we did London, and it was just event to see how many high streets, as they call them there, just look the same. So I think by really pointing out stores that people don't find usually, we do make an active effort to make sure these stores stick around for a longer time. And just to add one more thing about the shops, we really have the whole range. So it might be a shop that has been around for like 200 years and, you know, just one that started last week. So we don't just go for the trends. We really go for the quality and the uniqueness.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you're spending a lot of time. This must be exhausting. But, right? I mean, obviously, it must be exhausting. But let me ask you, what seems to be the greatest challenge with today's shopping and what the customer is really looking for?
I think it's what Philip mentioned is that cities are really becoming retail clones of each other, and the same big change open up shop in every major city. So it makes it really hard for small retailers to just stay visible and compete,
mm-hmm.
especially because they're on a very small budget usually.
Mm-hmm.
It seems though what the customers really want are not just the physical product that they buy. They really want of course, they want quality and a good price, but they also want a story that goes with it. They want, they want to have an emotional connection to that product and to whoever made that product or wherever they got this product from. And this is a value, an added value to that product that you can't really get from mass-produced goods.
Right. Are you guys, are you hearing from different business owners that since joining up, they've seen an increase in their sales volume. They're seeing new customers that would have never known about them before.
We have some examples. I mean, usually, you know, when a customer comes in, he's not going to be like, "Whoa, I found you on Shopicon," you know. But you know, more often than not, we hear from shop owners who tell us, you know, that this one client was so happy because, you know, he rediscovered Vienna in a completely different way, or Barcelona, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely. It's sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Well, and you know, I think you hit right on. I think a lot of times, they're not going to know per se because somebody's not going to walk up to them and say, "Oh, I saw this great site called Shopicon. I utilized it, and that's why I'm here with you today." You know, I'm sure they can see from their bottom line, they can see where sales have increased. They can see more customers coming in, and I would say probably more, you know, in more ways than one, that's probably, the site is probably helping them. The Internet is very, very powerful, you know. I mean, very powerful, and we can tell you that just in what we're doing here, you know, where we launched this, and this was a talk about doing a show like this for a while, but in a period of 1 month, we launched and became a featured show because of the thousands of people that listened in, okay? And that is something that people would need to be on this type of network for maybe about a year before that really happens, before they get that type of listening audience. But I guess what I'm getting at is the Internet is so powerful, and this is such a great tool. I'm telling you, when I went to use it, so let's just take a look at your site. I mean, I look at the site, and I'm looking at it right now, And, you know, I look at it and I go, my God, you know, the colors are just, I mean, it's a beautiful sight, right? So whoever designed it, it was very appealing, you know. The colors were appealing. But it makes me want to dive in, right? It makes me want to go, you know what, I'm already there. Where do I go? Right?
That's the point,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I hit category. And you know, and folks, this is what I'm telling you. It's so easy. You go to category, and from category, you go to neighborhood. And, you know, I'm looking in Barcelona right now, and I know some of these, you know, these locations because I've been there. Oliver, you were in what part of Barcelona? Were you right in the...
Yeah, I used to live in the Gothic Quarter, but right now I'm in San Antonio, which is right next to Raval. I don't know if that rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to the old town, basically.
Uh-huh. Are you learning a little bit of Catalan?
I'm trying.
So you're trying.
Yeah,
what about Spanish?
Spanish is fine. My Spanish is good, yeah.
Ah, qué bien. See, I speak Spanish only as well. So if we go to the category section, we go to, say, for instance, we go to clothing, and then we go to neighborhood. So there's different neighborhoods that we can actually, like I see Barceloneta, and then the Barri Gothic, and then all these different places, Eixample,
yes.
Yeah, Gracia, Raval, blah, blah, blah. And I go to these, and I touch on one. It's really interesting because then what it's going to give me is it's going to give me all those type of stores in that neighborhood that would have, say, clothing, right? Because I guess that's
exactly
what I was
right.
looking at. And so it's really kind of interesting. It's really kind of cool. And then going to the San Francisco one, you know, that's great too as well because it's got so many of the neighborhoods that are in the city. So it's got, you know, that's just awesome itself, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, you can be very, very specific. If you just look for bookstores in Castro, you can do that with our website. And you know, we keep adding new stores every day. So it's not like a fixed guide where, you know, it's out there and it's done. It's supposed to be a growing project in the sense that, you know, Place is closed, Place is open, and that really keeps us busy, Joey, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, I noticed in San Francisco you had probably about 13 or 14 districts, but there's quite a few other ones that I didn't notice there. Will those be added at a later date, perhaps?
Sure. I mean, you know, we're always trying to figure out, you know, because they're really established neighborhoods and ones that, you know, just got a name, and so sometimes, you know, you'll find your neighborhood within a different title, but we do keep on adding new neighborhoods as well.
Yeah, because, you know, I was blown away when I tried using it, just like I hit the Mission and I hit Marina, and there were just certain areas of the city, and I wanted to see if I noticed any of these places or been to. A couple of them I have been, and then a couple I had never even heard of before, establishments that I never heard of before. So this would be a really great tool for so many people to use. So,
yeah, I mean, it's something we hear a lot, especially from locals, you know, especially when we started here in Vienna, people were like, you know, I know my city, and then we're like, you know, have a look. And then they're really surprised because, first of all, there are many places you just walk by where you don't even notice the shop or you don't know if it is a shop. And then, you know, they're just neighborhoods you don't go to. So I think we really want locals to rediscover their own cities with our apps.
So let's talk about your audience, okay, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tell me if you know any stats on this, the type of audience that seems to – do you guys have any idea the type of people that are drawn into this? Maybe any, like, any statistics, their age, You know, sure. Are they generally professional people? Are there a lot of blue collar? You know, I'm always interested in what types of people seem to be attracting people's businesses and websites and establishments.
So I think you know, we there's some things we know, there's some things we're kind of guessing, but from what we know, it's a lot of women. We have, like, I would say 60 to 70% of our customers are women, and the age range is somewhere, I would say, between 25 and 35. And we always used to say that, you know, it's more people that've been to a city before, so they got the sightseeing out of the way. You know, they would love San Francisco and go there a lot, and that's, I think that's our client base. But it's really not you know, one certain cluster of income. It really goes from you know, rich folks to blue collar workers. I think we do have the whole range, right, Ollie?
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked about locals before, especially we have a lot of tourists using the guide as well, because visiting these places and getting to know these places from a different point of view is very very interesting, especially when you've already when you've already seen the fifth church and the second museum, then you might really want to get more in depth and actually meet local people and see how people work and see how where people live. So apart from the local users, we also have a lot of tourists who use the app.
Okay, so and I understand that you have a lot of you guys use the term cultural enthusiasts. So can you help me out? What does that mean when you say culture enthusiast? Do you know what we're talking about specifically? Help us out here.
Well, I would say a culture enthusiast is someone who really, you know, wants to go in depth with his knowledge about a city and how it operates. I mean, there's the part of it which is, you know, like really getting to see the museums. But the other thing is really getting an idea of what a neighborhood is like, you know, and especially for San Francisco, you know, these neighborhoods are so different, whether it's, you know, the Mission or something else. They all have their own little characteristics. So I think, you know, you see a lot of tourists who are much more knowledgeable than in the past and who really want to experience the city a little bit like locals and want to feel like, okay, this is what, you know, a certain neighborhood is like, and really want to see the, you know, the stuff that's under the radar. And I think that's, for me, a cultural enthusiast.
Well, you know, I think you hit right on. I mean, the Mission District, let's take San Francisco. When you go Mission District of San Francisco, is very different than, say, Pacific Heights,
yeah,
Russian Hill, Knob Hill, the Marina. Very, very different. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so, okay, that kind of helps me out there. And then can you help me out for a business traveler? How can this benefit the business traveler?
Well, a business traveler usually has little time and money to spend sometimes. So I think, you know, a business traveler will be, you know, has an hour and he's in a neighborhood that he has no idea about, but he knows his kind of shop that he likes. That's why he has our app. And I think, you know, he would, again, pop it out. And if he needs to get a gift for his wife or his kids, you know, you kind of save time by just like going from one shop to the next, where you're not sure if that's the kind of thing you're looking for. And obviously, if you want to bring a gift from that city that's specific to that city, then our app comes right in.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the vintage shoppers? Is Shopicon for them too?
Vintage is an interesting one. Thanks for mentioning it, because, you know, through our work, we really got to understand that vintage is actually a much broader category. There's a secondhand, you know, there's all kinds of different categories, but absolutely, especially in San Francisco, you have so many great vintage stores. But then again, you have some which are, you know, actually not so good in the sense that they're a bit commercial.
There's
some where locals would never step foot in. So
right.
It's very important for us to really get an in-depth knowledge about, you know, what's cool and what's not, and talk to locals about the vintage stores that really fit our profile.
Now, what about fashionistas? Now, would you find those simply like in places like, say, San Francisco, New York, Paris?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, fashion is a very challenging category, because that's the one thing that's usually very well covered in the internet. And most people, when they think about shopping, first think about fashion. So we're covering many more categories than just fashion. And obviously, you wouldn't find the high end boutiques that you would find in Paris and London and everywhere else. But we really try to find the, I would say, the local designers that have their own, brands and really, there's some really cool stuff out there.
Yeah, I could imagine. This is, as a male, I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of shopping. Let me just, I'm just not. It's probably, I don't necessarily like to shop. I want to go to a place, go in and out, get what I need. Now, as a male, I can tell you the reason I like this is because it's kind of like, you want to buy some cool things, right? But you don't necessarily want to spend all day going up and down a street looking at different stores. So for the, quote, male shopper, I really think there's a real big benefit here, because you can do kind of this secret shopping online. You see something you like. You got the address, you got the phone number, you just head on over there, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do hear this a lot from guys. They're like, oh, you're doing shopping, guide. Oh, I'm not into shopping. And I think that's where we come in as well, because, Ollie and me, we're both guys, and there are just so many cool things out there which are not fashion, and we kind of want to take the headache out of the whole process. So just like, browse around, and I'm sure you'll find things that are very cool for guys and women, and so it's definitely for both.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think that I think that hitting the San Francisco market has really been wonderful. I think that there was something written recently about Bay Area consumers, and it said something like, Bay Area consumers have finally loosened the grip on their purse strings, and 2013 retail forecast is remarkably upbeat. The retail market is expected to continue trending upwards throughout the next year, especially in San Francisco, where the average annual employment growth rate at a healthy 2.6% is projected to outperform much of the rest of the country. Now, I can tell you from living here in the Bay Area, we see a lot of the major firms, a lot of the high-tech, Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Hewlett-Packard, Apple Computer, all around us. And they're bringing in a lot of people from outside of the United States as well to work here in high-tech. And the shopping industry is completely changing. Let me give you an idea. The little town where I live, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, but anyway, the little town that I reside in is now thinking of adding a second downtown with shops. Why? Because there's an influx of more people, and the downtown area that is filled with stores is just jammed and jammed and jammed with people. Now, these are, ma-and-pa stores. These are not big department stores or anything like that, but they want to build another downtown, okay? By
right.
The same token, within the same city, they have now taken a concept that was used in another one of the outlining cities here that's kind of mimicking Barcelona. It's called Santana Row in San Jose. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, so Santana Row is kind of a contrived little downtown area with upscale stores and little boutique shops, and it's supposed to look like downtown. It's supposed to look like Barcelona, in the downtown area, in the Gothic Quarter and all that kind of stuff. Very, very interesting. And a lot of living apartments and condominiums upstairs. So it's trying to give a kind of a European flair, but contrived. But there are a lot of people that are moving into these places, and they want this type of shopping availability. Okay, now, that being said, we're seeing more and more of this. There is more need for a service like yours. Why? Because people do not have time to be driving up and down this, you know, street trying to find a parking place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or going up and down a street looking for a type of store. This is a great idea.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think, you know, San Francisco has been, you know, one of the first cities we thought about when we started this project, because, you know, in many ways it has a certain European flavor as opposed to other American cities where you can actually walk around. And boy, it's changing a lot, you know. I mean, we've seen these two.com booms, essentially, and every time a neighborhood's changing. And I think, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, they don't look alike and show people, like, the cool shops there.
Right, right. Have you guys, let me ask you this, have you ever thought of incorporating, I don't want to throw a curveball here, but have you ever thought of incorporating maybe part of Napa Valley in too, because they have some kind of interesting shops and places? Have you ever thought about that?
I mean, you know, it's definitely, it's a possibility. I mean, there's Oakland, there's Napa Valley, there's, we just really wanted to start on San Francisco itself first. But yeah, I mean, for sure we thought about it.
Right, right. Well, anyway, that being said about San Francisco, I'll tell you what, guys, thank you so much for talking with me. I'm going to get back to you in a little bit. I'm just going to mute your mics right now, because we're going to be bringing in a gentleman by the name of Michael Pastorio, who I believe is calling from New York City. He's one of the San Francisco editors for Shopicon. Michael, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Joey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what time is it there for you?
It's 12:45 a.m.
Nice. Not as bad as in Europe, right? But as far as the time difference. But thanks for joining us at this hour.
No problem. So, my pleasure.
So I understand that you were very instrumental in working the San Francisco market for them here, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
It'd be a nice compliment.
Yeah. So can you tell us really what your basic job was for Shopicon here in San Francisco, what you did? And, yeah, if you could give me a little bit better understanding picture of that.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So I was a contributing writer and photographer. So my duties were basically, I would contact shop owners, or I would just pop into their shops and, you know, tell them about, the app, tell them about Shopicon and what we were looking for in stores, and if they'd be interested in, you know, letting me interview them and then take photos of their business. Most owners were, really open to the idea. They really liked that we focused on independent retailers and, yeah, we found a lot of great support in SF.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so that being said, let me ask you, what do you think, in your opinion, makes the San Francisco market unique versus other markets?
Well, it's an internationally known city. It's really has a great culture, mainstream culture and counterculture. Mm-hmm. Historically, I mean, going back to, you know, the Haight and up through, you know, the Castro boom and then the explosion of the Mission in the last decade and a half or so. So it's a really diverse place to be, and it's really open to people who want to start businesses that, you know, are independent-minded and, you know, may not be successful in, you know, suburbs or outer cities surrounding. And it's a small city and there's a lot of foot traffic, and, you know, like you were saying before, there's been a huge increase in population because of technology and what have you, and you know, there's just a lot of people interested in interesting products and independent shops.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, now, are you originally from the Bay Area, from San Francisco Bay Area?
No, I'm not actually from Chicago.
Oh, you're from Chicago, so then you were... So you heard my little comment about Chicago, right?
Yeah, I heard your put
right.
it.
Right.
Which I agree. It's a great
place. It's a great place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, so I guess you had made mention about the Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess my question to you is, Do you see that that actual neighborhood is completely changing? Like, it seems that there's more hipsters coming in. There's, I just see a different type of, different people coming in.
Right, right.
Different type of business, and maybe you can expound on what you experienced.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's like night and day in the Mission. So I recently moved to New York from the Mission, actually. I was there for about 6.5 years. And when I moved there, you know, there was a lot of artists and musicians and, you know, that counterculture population. But then I would say in the last, you know, couple years, there's been a huge boom in, you know, a few things. One being restaurants. It's, you know, primarily like a restaurant district, you might say, nowadays. Another thing is, I would say there's been this evolution, or maybe even this merging of two, you know, youthful demographics, one being the hipster and one being the tech professional. I think, you know, you can aptly put the texter is the new term for these guys or gals. You know, just walking down the street, there's a lot of buses bringing people in from Silicon Valley and vice versa, you know, to all the big companies, Google, Yahoo, eBay and Facebook. And I think it's definitely changed a lot, you know, as far as the people living there. I don't know. I have never seen any statistics as far as how the actual demographic of the city, the neighborhood has changed over, you know, like this. I'm sure this comparing the census, the 2010 census to the 2000 would be interesting. And I'm sure, you know, there's definitely been an increase and or a decrease in the Hispanic population there. But where I'm living in New York, it's the same thing. You know, there's neighborhoods that are, you know, I don't know if I want to say being displaced by, you know, young urban professionals and the like. But I kind of feel like it's a trend throughout the country and maybe the world. You know, people are moving back into cities. And unfortunately, the areas with lower price rents are the first ones, you know, to be gentrified.
Right, right. Well, you know, you said something that was really important here. You said people are moving back into the city. Let me tell you something. Yeah, when you were in San Francisco, did you ever go into the Italian neighborhood, which was North Beach? Did you ever go in have dinner there, or did you ever hang out there at all?
You know, I went there sometimes. There's a great bookstore there. But I never really ate too much Italian food, even though I'm, you know, an American Italian.
Right, right.
I've always, like, food wise, been into Mexican food, even from living in Chicago. You know, it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But
Italian there, Michael. No, I'm kidding. No, I totally understand. I love Mexican food. But the reason I say that is I had family that grew up in North Beach, and North Beach years ago was predominantly an Italian neighborhood, and also Spanish people were there. But those were really the two types of people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember a few years ago, I was in, it was about 5 years ago, I was in North Beach and I was having dinner, and I had noticed that there were a lot of the old Italian businesses had kind of closed down, and some of the establishments, some of the bakeries. That being said, I wanted to get to the bottom line. I wanted to find out why this was happening. And so I talked to this one little Italian lady. She said, well, because everybody else was moving us out, and all of the Italian families that have been here for years and years and years, big businesses moved them out. But she said, but you know what? And I said, what? And she had this, like, look in her eyes. She goes, we're coming back. And I said, what? And she said, you heard me. She said, a lot of families that once had to move out are now coming back because this was our area and we're reclaiming it. So it's funny, within the last year, I went back in and I just saw a big change. I saw a lot more of these family-run businesses and establishments and these Italian families coming back in. So it kind of made me smile. Mm-hmm. But it's true. A lot of people are coming back, you know, once they left, and now they're returning. So And I'm sure you saw that while living here.
Right. One question. It seems like Chinatown is just one neighborhood that doesn't get gentrified in any big city. I don't know if I'm overgeneralizing.
Well, you know, I think you're right. But what was happening with San Francisco, and it's funny you mentioned that, you know, people, and especially ethnic backgrounds, sometimes if they're in a certain area, like, you know, like in New York, Little Italy, very similar to North Beach, what ends up happening is they want to, you know, that's their area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chinatown is very close to North Beach. So a lot of the Chinese families were moving into the North Beach area, which was predominantly Italian. So there was a lot of problems there. But now the Italians are coming back and saying, you know, this was our place. Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio, you know, they got married here. And this is our arena and this is our, you know, turf. And so they're reclaiming that. It kind of makes me laugh. It's like, can't we just all get along? But reality is people want their neighborhoods. And people do not want big businesses to come in, tear down their neighborhoods, take away their style. And this is why I think this website is a great, great website, because it's trying to at least protect, you know, the smaller business and the unique businesses out there today. And I think that's what, you know, you're going to see in other areas, wouldn't you say? You're going to see the same pattern in other metropolitan areas.
I think that's true.
So, Michael, I thank you so much for joining us with us. Well, it's the wee morning hours for you, but nighttime here for us. And I'm going to put the other guys back online. Thanks again, Michael, for joining us.
Thanks again for having me.
Okay, thank you. And we'll bring back Philip and Oliver.
I just wanted to add a little story, because you guys were just talking about Chinatown and
sure.
And Little Italy. When we started in New York, we had a really nice little thing happen to us. We interviewed one of the oldest gourmet shops in Little Italy, Da Paolo's. And the conversation lasted for almost 2 hours, because the guy was so interesting. And at one point, we were walking outside, and he pointed out this old Chinese lady on the other side of the street. And he was like saying, like, do you see that woman over there? And I was already afraid that he was going to say, you know, bad things about Chinese taking over the neighborhood.
Right, right.
But he said, you know, this woman probably had the same experience that my grandmother did coming to this country, and she has every right to be here, just like my grandmother was here too. So sometimes, you know, things change, and it's not always for the worst. It's just you can't stop some developments. But
no, you cannot. You cannot.
But I think what we've experienced, or what we've learned, that communities can actually impact how their neighborhoods change. We've seen that in Valencia Street, where the community has been successful at keeping American Apparel out. And, you know, American Apparel has its place. But, you know, if a community says, listen, you know, we don't want a certain change or a certain kind of shops to come in, that's their choice to make. And I think that's something that cities and community and neighborhoods actually learn, that they can actually actively change a neighborhood the way they want it to change.
Right. Well, and you know, when you see like a big corporation, like say a Walmart, you're
right.
Familiar with it, Walmart,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
Well, you don't have them in Europe, do you?
No, but we do have these huge supermarkets as well. Not like Walmart, though. That's
yeah. But, you know, Walmart will come in, and it basically will kind of tear out a whole community, because the small businesses cannot compete.
Yeah.
With
no, I fully agree. It's economies of scale. You know, they just have a different grip and a different power. So, but there are things where people stand up for their rights, and I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I just think it's important to really protect the local business, and that's what you folks do, actually. Now tell me, I got a question for you. Tell me if I'm pronouncing the name of this website correctly. Is it Shopicon?
It is Shopicon. Some people say Shop Icon. I mean, whatever works, I guess. But it's Shopicon.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right, because so it's Shopicon,
yeah.
And that's a very, whether you call it Shopicon or Shop Icon, it doesn't really matter. But the point is, just get to the website. So it's www.shopicon.com. And, you know, I really thank you guys for joining us this morning on your side of the world there. And I guess I would just like to, again, recommend people to go to this website. Again, it's www.shopicon.com. Make sure you get on it, browse it, use it, recommend it to your family and friends. And then if you want to download this application, Philip, again, will you tell these folks how they can do this?
Yeah, you can just go onto iTunes and download the app. Just search for it on iTunes, or you can go to our website. There's a direct link. Or just open the website on your phone, and it'll open the perfect little app for it as well.
Right, right. So in closing, do either one of you have anything, any final thoughts for our audience today?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, what I already said is that, you know, I'm really thankful for San Francisco to you know, help us with getting the app where it is right now. And I want people to know that, you know, there is a way to protect your neighborhood, to protect your community. And, yeah, I just want to thank you, Joy, for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. And it's been really cool.
Oh, well, no, it's been our pleasure. I mean, this is really great. And, you know, folks, you're going to be able to hear this same show for the next week out. You'll be able to hear it. It'll be in the archives. And the neat thing, you guys, about this show is that it'll go on a demand play. So basically, it will be available 24/7, 365 days a year. So anybody that's searching our site can see this program all about Shopicon, and if they're interested in finding out more about this great tool, they can listen on into the program. So again, we thank you, Philip, Oliver, Michael, for being with us on Live from the Bay today. We also would like to thank Becky for working with us on this and helping get Philip and Oliver and Michael and everybody together and for this great meeting. And so on behalf of all of us here, myself, including our engineer, producer Jamin, we thank you for joining us today. And for all of you out there listening, either live or in the archive on demand mode, make sure you are with us next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for another wonderful show. And again, that website for Shopicon is www.shopicon.com. And again, folks, make sure you get on it, browse it, use it. I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful tool. I definitely will be using it. I will be passing it on. So until next time, this is Joey saying take care.
Thanks for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey.